I'm going to start it. Hang on. Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is August 26, 2013. Wynn and Terry in Arizona, and all of you listening, every which where. That's a good one. And all of you who listen to the replays, also every which where, but sometimes I notice a lot of people in other countries tend to listen to the replays. And I'm so glad you're participating. And I was thinking, I said, if you got my email, some of you are realizing, I don't know if anyone's here for the first time tonight. Let me see here. Let me just ask. Hang on a second. Just a second. Is anyone here for the first time?
Yes.
Hi there. Well, welcome. What is your name?
Janet.
Janet, what city? I don't mean to embarrass you, okay? So it's none of your business.
No, it's all right. It is embarrassing. I'm in Victorville, California.
Victorville.
Yes.
You know, I know Victorville very well.
Okay.
Years ago, I was in a cart in the Victorville Mall selling something for a week or so. So I'm very familiar. Victorville is on the way. Isn't that on the way to Barstow, right?
It is.
From L.A.
Oh,
well, thank you for saying your name. Are you reading our emails? Have you listened to any of our calls before?
Me? Emails, and I've listened to recordings before.
Okay. Well, you're not completely new. Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else listening for the first time tonight? Okay. We're going to mute you all. Now, I have another question. If anyone wants to answer, and maybe no one will answer. Sometimes I say these things and no one answers, and that's okay. But usually somebody answers. And I know that there's a number of people that have gone through some really great changes as a result of listening to our calls. And I know there's people that have gone through little changes, and I know there's people that are saying, what am I going to change? Okay? And the call tonight is going to integrate a lot of stuff which I have been putting together. And, you know, I am on a constant, what we're doing here has no end to it. The only reason we can do these calls so often, it has no end because we're in a process. Part of the process is understanding things mentally, because this is so out of the box. It is so, let's say, outside of conventional thinking and conventional ideas that, as I've said before, when I first entered into this, you know, back in 2002, it was like a science fiction movie. And I said, there's got to be something wrong. This couldn't be what it seems like it is. It couldn't be. I must be making a mistake. It must be a negative source. Something must be misleading me. And those of you that have listened know that I worked really hard to validate it. And when we do these calls, there's kind of a transparency. You know what the word transparency is? I really, I'm just me. I'm not on a pedestal. I'm not. Neither is Terry. Both of us are humans here, and we have our human issues, and we're getting way better at handling them than we used to be. But we certainly have gone through our human issues, just as many of you are going through your human issues, and that on these calls, we're having the opportunity to understand why we have those issues and what it takes to get through them. And, you know, the first step is that it's okay to have issues. It's okay. You don't judge yourself when you're not living up to your expectations, because that freezes you. You can't grow when you're doing that. And we're all on this planet, and there's certain conditions that are impacting us all. And we have been learning about them on every call. This is not, as you know, this is not a static situation. This is a moving situation. And I'm learning things, and as I learn them, I share them with you guys. And, of course, I may not be right. I may be making mistakes. So I give you, like, how I learn something, and you can decide. What I've learned is when, one of the things I've learned is when I hit on the right thing, when I hit on it, and actually, you know, we hit on it in different ways, it triggers people. Because suddenly it causes you to put something together in your mind that was at the, in your subconscious, it was close to consciousness, but you hadn't put it together yet. And if I say it, it allows you to put it together, and you have that thing that says, aha, I get it, I understand. And that's a permanent shift. Every time you have an aha, there's a permanent shift. Because part of all of this work requires that your mind understand it so that you can work with it. You know what you're doing. And then the other part of the work is allowing yourself to open up to these energies that once you feel it, you know what it is. But up to that point, you're saying, I wonder if Wynn is loony. He keeps talking about these energies, and I keep showing up, and when am I going to feel it? When am I going to get it? And that when you start opening up to the energies that are on these calls, particularly our Sunday call, if you're not on our Sunday call, either go back in our archives and listen to them or attend live. And, you know, from your point of view, if you knew what I knew, and that's why I talk, because you do get to know what I know, from your point of view, there's an urgency to this. And but your mind has to even understand why there's an urgency. Can't believe it, because I tell you, it's got to be something that you assimilate and say, oh my God, I better listen to the Sunday call. And I'll tell you, the people that are getting it are there every Sunday. And some people would look at them and say, oh, those guys are a bunch of idiots. They're Wynn's followers. And that's not true. There are no followers here. I show up, and you show up, and the things that happen not because of me, but through me and through Terry. And there's kind of a bridge that develops into other dimensions. And there's wisdom that can trigger you, and then there's energies that can evolve you. And we've been putting together over the past 2 months a whole body of information that every bit of it is totally incredible. And if you're one of those people that hasn't listened, then you should, or I would suggest it. Not that you should, but I suggest it, because this is stuff that's never been brought into this realm before. I mean, you can't find it. And I don't think it's like, for some of you, it's the material and the understanding you've probably spent lifetimes seeking out, looking for. I was looking for it. You know, I was reminding myself when I was in college, and I used to always go to the bulletin boards everywhere. And it was like there was something I was looking for on the bulletin board, but I didn't know what it was. I used to read the newspapers. I was looking for something. And because there was something about this realm that didn't fit, that didn't make sense, and I knew it. And I couldn't find what I was looking. I did find things. I mean, I found Edgar Cayce. I found a bunch of spiritual teachers that I learned from. I found the Bible, and I read that. And I was like looking, but I couldn't get the thing that put it all together. I couldn't find it. And I right at this moment, for me, this is a really exciting thing. And Terry sits here, and she gets excited. And many of you are getting excited because we're putting these pieces together. So this mystery of life, of God, of the universe is, I won't say it's ever going to be completely solved, because I don't think it can be. There's going to be a mystery underneath the mysteries that we solve, but we are certainly solving some of the most profound mysteries on this planet, things that people have been searching and looking for all their lives and perhaps lifetimes, things that people have written books about in their quest of theology, on philosophy, on spirituality. And right here on these calls, we're putting things together. And if you put something together, you can't just say, okay, this is how it is. There has to be a process of how did you find out? And there has to be a reason why you should believe it. And that we're putting all those things up here so that you can integrate it. And of course, you have to make your own decision. You have to decide, are we full of it or are we not? I mean, when voices talk through Terry that say they created the physical universe, is that really who it is or is it not? Or is Terry making it up? Or do we have a negative source? These are your jobs to figure out. We don't declare any of it and say, this is true. And if we did, and you believed it because we said it, it would turn negative because you'd be giving up your power. I'd be giving up my power. And if you've been paying attention to our work over time, I don't believe there's anything on these calls that tries to make you give up your power. It always says test it, make it so it integrate it for yourself, incorporate it, and can your life change? And people's lives have changed. A number of people's lives have changed. And what causes somebody's life to change? That is what we're going to talk about on this call. And at 6:17, you know, I was going to have some people make some comments about how their lives have changed, but I think I'm going to skip it because I have a lot I want to get into this, and I don't want to miss anything. And we may even do a session. Terry is open to it towards the end of the call. But just some putting some facts together. You know, the headline was DNA, the missing link to everything. And many people who are on spiritual paths and many teachers talk about DNA evolution. That's kind of a buzzword now in New Age thought. Now, let me tell you, whenever anything becomes a buzzword, you have to be very careful, because people who use the buzzword may not be, they sound similar to what things we talk about, or maybe we sound similar to the things they talk about, but they may not be doing it in the same way. For example, people who use the word ascension, people that use the word shift, people that use the word DNA, evolution, people that use the word Jesus. Just because people are using those words and it sounds like they're talking about the same thing we're talking about, they may not be. And the key to this, they may even be talking about it, but they may only be talking about it on a mental level. And they're not bringing in the energy. Some of you read my email yesterday where I announced someone that was doing a planetary healing session. And you know what? I think it's really good that people do that and participate in it. A lot of times people ask me, would you mention this to your group? And I said, normally, I don't do that. The reason I don't do it is because what I have noted is that most of these planetary healings don't have the energy of our call. And they, even they might talk and sound like it, they don't, particularly our Sunday call, which is focused on that. And so what energy do they have? Who is behind it? Can I be sure it's positive? Because what I have learned is that what we call the negative, and we say there's forces and there's intelligences in other dimensions that want to dominate this realm. I know that. Some of you don't know that, but I know that. Many of you do know that. And in order to dominate this realm, they don't come in by military, not at this point anyway. What they do, and this was in the Carlo Ruckert material, and when I first read this, it's something that it took me a while to integrate and believe, but what they do is they attempt to connect with the elite and use their connection with the elite to enslave the masses. And the way this works is there's then all kinds of disinformation, misinformation, oftentimes from highly intended people that mislead you. And you have to figure that the negative can watch this realm and they know what's impacting people. So if words like Jesus are impacting people, they'll use the word Jesus. In fact, if you know the story of the Bible, you know, what happened was Jesus was at first just a radical. He would have been called a cult if they had that word at the time. And he was winning the hearts of the masses. And, of course, somebody thought if we just kill him, we'll get rid of him. And then a little while later, there was something called the Council of Nicaea. And as I understand it, the Romans, who were, you know, the control factor at the time, were seeing the masses being followers of Jesus, and they were losing their control. I'm just speculating. And they decided to call this council to bring Jesus into their offices, make him official, make him recognized, and that the Council of Nicaea actually rewrote the Bible or edited the Bible and took out references that they weren't comfortable with. So the present Bible today is totally through the Council of Nicaea, which was the power to be in Rome, and of course that's when Christianity became a Roman religion. centered in the Vatican. And the goal was not to create a religion. Religion always, almost, I won't say always, but almost always takes something that is very popular in the masses and then uses it to control people. And then it creates fear. And it creates fear of God. And it creates fear of whatever. And so the very thing that was designed to uplift the vibrations in this realm becomes another control factor. Those of you that have studied the Egyptian connection, you haven't, it's a really good workshop, egypt.intelligence-infinity.com, egypt.intelligence-infinity.com. I took a whole bunch of things, put them together about what really happened in Egypt. And, of course, there was this intervention, but if you know the group, you have to study these things. There was this intervention by the Ra group with David Wilcock, or an early lifetime of Edgar Cayce, called Ra-Ta, that they were doing miracles, they were building pyramids by levitation, and then the priests at the time were feeling disempowered. Who was this guy Ra? Or they weren't a guy, but they were actually manifesting bodies that people could see. Who are they? They're taking all our power. Everyone's paying attention to them. How do we get the power back? Well, after Ra-Ta died, the way they got the power back was saying, let's use the name Ra. We'll call it Amun-Ra. Not the Ra group, but Amun-Ra, which for thousands of years was the god of Egypt. And Amun-Ra was, as I have learned in the past few weeks, if you've been tracking the calls of the past 2 weeks, there was one of those Anunnaki aliens who was the grandson of the Enki Enlil people, who was named Marduk. And what I found on the internet, and of course I can't prove this, you know, I'm just like putting pieces together, that Marduk became known as Amun-Ra in Egypt. And so there was a whole pantheon of gods in Egypt that were not the highest of highs. They were lower forms that were vying for competition, vying to win the masses over. And it wasn't until Akhenaten came along, and according to Carla Rucker, Akhenaten was talking to the Ra group, that that changed. But it only changed for a short while until he was killed, okay? And but what good is it who you worship? What's in a name? Are you trying to find favoritism up there? If you have the right name, okay, it's not Amun-Ra. Okay, let's go the real Ra, stand up, and I'm going to worship that Ra, or I'm going to worship Jehovah, or I'm going to worship Allah. Well, as we've learned in the past couple of months, that all, if you're hearing this for the first time, you've got to do your own research, because there's a huge amount of data that backs this up. This is not from channeled sources. There's translations of tablets. There are ruins in Africa where there were gold mines, that there were a group of ETs that landed on Earth that were extremely advanced, and they genetically engineered humans in order to be their slaves to mine gold. And they engineered humans with the idea that there would be limitations on their evolutionary process, and it was built into their DNA. And that we, most of us, if not all of us, are the offspring of the progeny. Progeny, is that the right word? The progeny of those original humans, the first of which were Adam and Eve. And so what is it about DNA? How is DNA the link? what was Jesus really trying to do? Was it about worshiping Jesus or worshiping this person or picking the right religion or picking the right God? No, it's not. It's not about that at all. And anyone that puts you in that frame of mind has got a negative spin on reality. Because what it's about, get this, what it's about is, what's the word that people use today? They talk about the unified field, that there is an energy that is the building block of the entire universe. It's a field. It's a field of energy. Can we really understand it? I don't really think we can. I don't understand it, although I've asked many questions about it. And that when we go beyond what appears to be reality, what appears to be our physical reality, we go through other dimensions and other dimensions. And finally, at the basic building block is the field. And the field connects us all. And that when you connect to the field, when you can hold that connection, in those moments that you can hold it, you are now living in the law of one. Because in that field, everybody becomes one, the same energy. And so you see other people as part of yourself. So part of the key of evolution is tapping into that field and learning how to be comfortable including it as part of your life. That it doesn't mean you can't be in the field and do earthly things, human things. You can. They're only all better when you're in the field because everyone around you is part of you. You are now in the law of one. And so how does this relate to DNA? Well, I'm not going to pretend to understand this in the most scientific way, every which way, but I do have a feel for it, and that DNA is your blueprint. You are grown out of your DNA. Your DNA has keys to your life, your individual life. It's like a tiny little computer chip that spreads through your entire body, and it controls how you look, it controls how you think, it controls many, many things. And when you die, this DNA blueprint gets carried in your field, or in your soul, you could say, which your soul is a subset of this field in another dimension. That's the precursor to you. And your DNA gets carried in your soul so that when your soul enters the next fetus, and decides to take a body again, the soul carries the imprint of the DNA, and now you have a body that is better suited for you to work out your stuff, okay? And as we have learned that when that happens, you not only have the talents and predispositions of your past lifetime, you also look like your past lifetime. And I think we have fairly well proven that. And if you've never done the research, look up the Terry St. Catherine connection, look up the David Wilcock Edgar Cayce connection. And you not only look like the person, but if you can find out who their friends were, their family was, there's a very good chance you'll find people look like that past life in your life right now. Now, that is not important so much for you to figure out. Most people don't know who they were. And most people, you may not have had a stainless lifetime, which is the only way you could ever put this together and find the right pictures. But for me, it was important because I was trying to figure out what was going on for me and why me. And why is this voice that says they created the universe talking to me? Now, what do they want? What really helps people? What is it? I mean, is it, are people supposed to believe in them, believe that they're real? Well, initially, they would be saying that they could project love light into this realm. And that, what I didn't understand that at first, but since we've been doing this for the past few years, many of us who have come on the Sunday calls know exactly how it feels to be on the recipient of love light, because they say they're on the call, and they say that energy is available to anyone on the call, and many, many people have had the experience of feeling that energy. So DNA is the key. It moves right along your track. It keeps holding your imprint. It keeps regrowing you. And you have another lifetime where you don't remember anything. And you continue and continue. And then something comes that wakes you up. You find something that starts to resonate. So what happens? There is this thing around our planet which keeps it in quarantine. It was decided, and I'm not sure exactly how the decision was made, but there's a quarantine, which is a cap on your energy. Your energy is limited in its expansion into the greater universe. And part of the reason for that is because humans were screwing things up. They were exploding nuclear weapons. They were screwing up other dimensions. They were screwing up some of the people in the universe. That humans were considered hostile. Or the whole event that was going on down here was hostile. It's not just the humans that were hostile. It was the Anunnaki lords that were setting off nuclear weapons all the time, killing hundreds of thousands of their humans because they thought they created them and they could do that. It was no big deal. Not all of the Anunnaki, but one of the brothers thought he could do that. He thought he had the right to do it because they created us. They created the bodies. And the other brother was saying, I want to evolve humans to God, you know, back to God. And so these brothers were in intense conflict. And here you are at the culmination, you, me, all of us, at the culmination of this. And so many of the belief patterns that we take for granted come from this period. Like the idea of being afraid of God, God-fearing. Are you a God-fearing individual? That is not from the highest sources. Not from anything I can tell, from I've experienced. That's from the residuals of these Anunnaki that wanted you to be afraid of them so that they could control you. And they did control us. And so the idea of God-fearing. Now, a lot of New Age people don't use that word. They don't incorporate that. A lot of religious people might. And then you have the idea of if it's God's will. And that, again, means you don't have any power. If it's God's will, it will happen. If it's God's will, this. If it's God's will, that. Well, you are part of God. you are a descended part of God into this realm. And if you're going around saying if it's God's will, you're saying you have no power. You do. You're a co-creator. You don't, but you're not playing the card. You don't know how. Why don't you know how? Because your DNA strand is not activated. It gives you power or love. Why are these DNA strands not activated? Because if people had power, if they have love, they could change this planet. They couldn't be afraid anymore. They would know that life is temporary and that we know that, but that you continue. It can be seamless. And so there are forces that have not wanted you to do that. It was a conscious intent. And in those days, if we take all this information, and it's pretty compelling that it's true, if we take it and look at it, we can see how dropping nukes on a city and killing tens of thousands of people is enough to scare anybody to say, tell us what you want, God, because we don't want that to happen again. And this is how this God of fear got established. And by doing this, they kept humans at a contracted level of DNA evolution. So let's look some of the stuff I've said before, but I'm trying to put it together tonight so that you can see the flow. DNA has 12 strands, and conventional science talks about junk DNA and that most of the strands don't do anything. Most humans have 3 strands activated. The first 7 strands of DNA are the first 7 chakras. And as each strand gets activated, it activates the chakra. Well, it goes backwards as well. The chakra gets activated, and it activates the strand. They work together. So every time you open your energy in a given chakra, you're programming your body to open that strand of energy. Like if your heart's open, you're opening your 4th chakra. But the chances are you'll keep going back to your 3rd chakra, and you have to keep constant. If your 4th chakra has not been open, it's unlikely that you can suddenly click a switch and it stays open. It needs constant reiteration to hold itself open. And finally, it holds itself open. And now you feel like everything is different. But oftentimes, you can't even remember how it used to be because you're in a new reality. So the first thing is to understand, because your heart's not open, because your heart chakra is not open, you are not dead. You have just been programmed for thousands of years in this realm to not have that be open. And then now you have the heart chakra open, the DNA strand open, and it radiates through. And theoretically, it can move through the wall and keep going. But oftentimes it doesn't. Even though it's open, there are shields that keep it from moving into the greater universe. One book calls them the Templar seals. The Bible calls it the 7 seals. Now, in a very interesting book I read, that I read this book because in 2002, I was in Encinitas with Daphne, and she took the book off the shelf, and they said, they want you to read this. And in that book, it was the first time I ever found an outside book talking about the Ra group. And it wasn't the main point of most of the book, but it came up enough to say, this is matching what I've learned about the Ra group. And she was saying that the Ra group she called it the Ra Confederacy, was responsible for helping lift these Templar seals. She called them Templar seals on the chakras that allowed someone to expand beyond the veil. And that the Ra group, in order to do this, would be monitoring the person's expression and understanding of the law of one, because otherwise they'd be letting tyrants through the veil. You can actually have your heart open and still be negative. It just turns into self-love instead of unconditional love for everyone. And you can just try everything to surround yourself with people that love you. So guess who, you know, was talking through David Wilcock, the Ra group. In that book, they were explaining, they didn't use these words, they didn't say Templar seals, but they were explaining through David, even more so than they did through Carla, I believe, they were explaining through David how to do this, how to understand the law of one, how to lift these seals, because this lifetime is different than any other lifetime, if I have it right. And that is because there's a division of souls, that the old way of this realm working is not going to continue working. And there's going to be a division between that which is negative and that which is positive, that which is service to self and that which is service to others, and that one group is going to go to a negative planet that is totally slavery, where the elite control everything, and the other group is going to graduate this realm and move to continue their future lifetimes in another way. Now, this sounds a lot like Jesus, and we have connected Ra to Jesus in the past, and I believe it's a big connection, and that through Jesus, they were trying to prepare people for this thing called, where they said, let's see, the meek shall inherit the earth, or one will be taken, or one will be left behind. Now, in general, many times people thought that meant this rapture idea. Now, I'm not getting there's going to be a rapture. I'm not getting that. I am getting there's going to be a division of souls. And when I've asked the question about this, about leaving this realm in your body, the short answer was, if you had all your DNA strands open, then your entire body could leave this realm and move to a higher realm. But very few people will qualify. If you have your heart DNA strand, your fourth strand, your heart chakra open, then when you die, you will go through what the word our sources use. When I ask the question, you'll go through astral ascension, where then angelic forces will come and work with you, help repair the damage that was done to your field so that you can continue your evolution and reappear in this higher dimensional earth or wherever. And is that true? You have to read it. You have to integrate it. Is it important if it's true? Yes, it's very important, because you're making the choices now that are going to determine your future lifetimes. And if you don't research this, if you don't read the materials, you're not going to have the urgency to make sure you clean up the act. One of the ways, how do you keep your DNA open? How do you keep the higher levels of DNA open? One way is to come into these calls or listen to our archives, because there's an energy on these calls. You feel that energy coming in? It's there now. Sunday, we hold it for quite some time. As you immerse yourself in the energies of these calls, you start reprogramming your DNA, and you start feeling loved. If you don't have humans to love you, you still need love, and you start feeling loved by the these higher sources, the Ra group and the Elohim group, and they're real. They are as real, as many of you have learned this, they are as real as you and I, if not more real, and they can love you. They can choose, if you choose to love them, they will send love back. And, this is something you can learn. They're an invisible source. They don't have bodies. It's hard, your mind can't believe it. Because as you start feeling loved, as your DNA strands start opening, not only you have a better life after you leave this realm, but you immediately have a better life in this realm because you start holding that space of evolution for the people in your life right now. And somebody's got to hold it. Otherwise, it's just negativity bouncing against negativity. You know, somebody has a negative thing that they project towards you, the chances are you're going to receive their negativity and you're going to feel bad. Like in relationships, people do this all the time. They project negative barbs at each other. They know all their partner's weak points, and then the partner projects it back at them, and before you know it, they're stuck. They got together to experience love, and they're fighting all the time, or there's something wrong. So, when you connect your DNA, and so that you can actually hold that fourth chakra open, and somebody sends a barb of negativity towards you, it can't get in. It bounces off you and goes back to them. And either they will start changing and growing, or else they'll leave you alone, because when it goes back to them, it hurts. So this is the fine line that we all have. And if you start evolving this DNA, then it starts to hold tight, and the negativity in the world can't get you. And at that point, you can say, I am in this world, but I'm not of it. And that's just not an idea. It means your energy is linked to higher dimensions, and the world can't get through because you don't have any negative in you for the negative outside of you to latch onto. Or if you do have negative, I shouldn't say you don't have any negative, because we all have negative. Even I have negative. Even Terry has negative. You know, it's not like you totally get rid of your shadow side, but you learn to work around it so that it doesn't control you and that other people can't penetrate your energy field. You hold boundaries up, and it's an energetic boundary, and that in order to get through the boundary, if they don't have their heart open, they don't get through. And you can keep holding it, and eventually you can be the catalyst for them to open their hearts. Many of you are going to be doing that for people in the future, because people are going to be going crazy. I do think things are going to fall apart, and you have to prepare yourself psychologically. Now, if it doesn't happen, I don't want it to happen. If it doesn't happen, you'll just be stronger. But if it does happen, you'll be prepared. You won't be afraid of dying. You will be able to hold yourself steady no matter what happens around you, no matter what negativity. And other people will be looking for that. They'll be looking for someone that can hold, because their paradigms are breaking down. And that is all of our challenges. And we're doing the best we can do to give you the opportunity both to understand the process and to feel the energies. And I'm sure we'll be doing more and more so that every one of you who's reaching, every one of you who feels stuck, that we, I don't promise this, but we're going to do our best to give you a path to get through your stuckness. But if you really want to get through your stuckness, and it's, you have to make a commitment. You have to realize that's not who you are. It's a temporary situation. And you have to make a commitment. You have to rise above it. You have to not judge yourself. And showing up to the calls is a good first step. But there's other things. Everybody's going to be different about what they have to do and how they do it. It may mean you have to forgive your husband for whatever he does that you're so angry with him all the time. Or it may mean you have to forgive your wife. And you have to not, if she's throwing negative stuff at you, you have to not let it stick. If your wife is denying you, you have to figure out how to handle that without hating her. I mean, it's a challenge. And, you know, people expect, okay, there's the Elohim, fix me, do this, do that, do this, do that. You know what? There's that saying that God helps them who helps themselves. And they're not even God. And they won't say they're God. If you ask them, they say, we're in a higher dimension. We have powers and wisdom. We can work with you. Many of you were us. And we're so glad to connect with you because you've lost your way in this realm. And when you know, the thing about this realm is when you lose your way, you can lose it for a long, long time. What's a long time? Hundreds of thousands of years. Millions of years. This is not an easy realm to get out of. It's got hooks all through it, and it's very few sources of accurate information and energy that can relink you back up to your cosmic self. So you have to make a commitment, listen to our archives. You can find other things in the work we're doing. If you find it, you'll know because you can feel the energy. The key is, if you can feel the energy, or if you have faith that the energy is there, if you haven't felt the energy on our calls, you've heard so many other people, and you can either think they're a bunch of loonies, or there's something here, and if there's something here, you keep looking for it, because it is here. I'm sure it's here, but you have to find it and take it. You can't, it's just, you know, which means you may have to do some work on yourself. And what is that work? I don't know. I said we're going to do a workshop. People are going to ask questions. And I'm hoping that will be a valuable contribution for some of you. I was thinking of doing a workshop for people who are totally stuck and see what comes from that. Bottom line is, we can't do it. You have to do it. But we'll show up. And we will get into the middle of it. And if you're willing to talk about yourself, we're willing to figure out what it is, the best of our abilities. So we didn't do a channeling. 6:57. I've got to stop. So I'll open up the lines. And Terry says, woo, we didn't do a session. And I hope that was all congruent. I know I put a lot of stuff in a short short little time, and I hope that I didn't lose you. All right.
They were ready to come in and channel.
They were.
Yeah.
Well,
we can maybe do it next time.
I'll tell you what. You know, we're on the phone. We can do it on the phone. If you're on the internet, go to 559-726-1200. And the code is 172746 pound. And we're going to do a session on the phone. And if you're at a place where you can't get on the phone, then look for the archives, which usually come out within 24 hours, and we'll record this session so you can listen to the whole thing again. Let me mute everything. And so on that note, it is now 6:58. And so, again, I'll read the dial-in number 559-726-1200, and the code is 172746. And if you listen on the archives, it's thespiritchannel.net. It's not up yet, but it'll be up in 24 hours. And so we'll take the opportunity to ask some questions about this topic and see if I've got anything wrong that they want to correct. So on that note, we are going to say goodbye to BBS. For all I know, he's going to leave me on. Occasionally, no one's on after us. Are you listening, Don and Doug? Hello?